Book of Job. We're reading through it right now as a family, and we all, you know, I think we should read at least once a year. We need to read the book of Job at least once a year. And I'll tell you what you'll find. The more you read the book of Job, the more you'll see God's grace through the whole thing. It's so incredible to see God's grace holding Job up. But his faith had to be, you know, put into practice. It had to be exercised. And the same way for our father Abraham. You know, whenever we come to Christ, we actually come into and are grafted into the same promises that God made to Abraham. Isn't that incredible? So the promises in our faith, we can trace them all the way back to what God told Abraham. He told Abraham that he would make him as numerous as the stars of the sky if he could count them. The sand on the seashore. Have you ever tried to set and count the sand of the seashore? You know, God's saying that there were going to be people of faith that were going to come for many years later. And you know what? We come under that covering of the faith of Abraham. So it's really important. Y'all, did you ever learn a song? Some of you had been in church whenever you were children about your father being Abraham, Father Abraham. You can sing it. I'll let you do it. Let's just praise the Lord. Right hand. Yeah, clap, clap. We can do left hand. We can do the right foot and left foot too if you want. It could be fun. But, you know, the thing of it is we got to understand what this with faith is that we're talking about. How did Abraham actually live out his faith? Because it's one thing to say you have faith, right? I can stand up here and talk about all the faith I have all day long. But, you know, you're not really going to have anything to go from until you actually see me live in that faith. And that to live that faith, I'm going to have to go through trials. How many of you are going through a trial right now? How many of you have gone through trials before? How many of you think that you're going to go through trials in the future? Yeah, both hands up. If I live, I'm going to continue to go through trials. It's just going to happen. So I think that we can gain a lot from this study of looking at the life of Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse 3, tells us just a little bit of a New Testament perspective on Abraham's faith. And so it says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Let's read that together, okay? For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Belief. Now, the type of belief we're talking about isn't just merely up here. You know? I believe if given the chance and sitting down at the controls, I could probably learn to fly a helicopter. But I'm not ready to put that into practice yet. I don't believe, you know, totally that I could do that. So, and y'all say, well, I wouldn't get in that helicopter because you don't have enough faith in me being able to get what I'm saying. But this kind of faith is saying that, like, I believe God enough that I'll get in the helicopter with him, not even knowing for sure where it goes. You know what I'm saying? And that's the kind of faith that Abraham showed, is that he was willing to follow God, and it showed that he actually believed him because he was willing to do what he said. And so believing in, you know, in what you can't see yet is like the expression of his faith. There's a lot of stuff God has asked you and required of you to be saved that you would give him your whole life. Do you know what the rest of your life is going to look like yet? Do you know what kind of challenges that there may be further down the road? You don't have a clue. Well, the question is, are you going to cut and run whenever it starts getting challenging, or are you going to stick with God? Because that's where it's going to get proven out. You know, so that whole thing of believing what you can't see, in that second slide, we're going to go ahead and read the passage from Hebrews chapter 11. And so if y'all could stand for the reading of this portion of God's word here. And we're going to read 8 through 16. Remember, we're going to save 17, 18, and 19 for next week. But let's read Hebrews 11, verses 8 through 16. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, in him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky, a multitude innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, when I read verse 16, it always grabs my heart. Oh God, Holy Father, Holy God in heaven, would it be said of me that you're not ashamed to be called my God? God, I want to have this kind of faith. Father, I pray that you would help all of us in this church to have this kind of faith, that when we are tested, it will only prove out that which is already there. It'll hammer it out. It'll reshape it, but it'll just make it stronger. That faith that you've given us as a gift. So help us, Lord, to stay the course even whenever things get tough. Help us to keep our eye on you. Help us to be willing to obey you even when we can't see exactly where things are going. Help us to know you well enough that we can hear from you, especially in your word, that we would be searching the word daily to know how you're directing. And that we wouldn't let things distract us or get us off the path. Help us to stay the course. And we know, Lord, as we read these words, Abraham wasn't a perfect man. And those of us that have read his entire story in the Bible, we know he made mistakes. But we know ultimately his path really stayed focused and centered on you. And that he handed that down to his children of the promise. And I pray that we can do the same. God help us. His child of the promise, that one he really built into and he gave, and that was the one that you had promised him. And that was the one that was going to be in the line of the Messiah. There's no way that we can know the magnitude of the things you're calling us to, Lord. We just need to believe you and do it. So help us, Lord, I pray. Help us as we look at the word here, as it's being played out and explained to us, that we'll put it in practice in our lives too. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all can have a seat. We'll break it down a little bit more. So believing, this faith is believing in what you can't yet see. And it talked about that at the beginning of Hebrews, you know, that definition of faith that Hebrews 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, there was enough evidence in his relationship with the Lord that he could believe him. But you know, he couldn't see the fulfillment of it yet with his eyes, reminding us that by faith Abraham obeyed. Let's say that word together, obeyed. You see, a lot of times since we understand that we're saved, you know, by grace through faith, we tend to kind of just omit the obedience. And whenever we see people that are really trying to live obedient lives to Christ in the way that he said, a lot of times we say that they're extreme or maybe legalistic. It's only legalism if you think you're saving yourself by doing that. It's only legalism if you think somehow you're keeping yourself saved by obeying God. But I want you to understand, God wants us to obey him. It's for our good. And it is to work out that faith. If we continue to disobey God, you know what God's going to have to do for his child? Discipline us. And I see a lot of people that have started out with Christ, but then they won't obey him, and they can't understand why they can't make any traction and really get anywhere, and they feel like that they're being disciplined a lot. And we all need to reflect on our lives and say, how am I doing and obeying the commands that God has already shown me? And I say this to myself today. Because if I don't obey, then what does that say of my faith? A faith that's real obeys. And so he obeyed when he was called to go out of the place that he would receive. Guys, I'm going to tell you that wasn't a small thing. God commanded and Abraham obeyed. You look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Now, the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land I will show you. He didn't give him Google Maps. It didn't say how long the journey was going to be and where the destination was and what kind of hotels he was going to be able to find and even find his favorite eating place as close to his hotel as possible. He had none of that. He was told, leave everything that is comforting and familiar to you and feel safe and follow me. You just start walking and I'll show you when to stop. And then, along with that call to obedience comes this great promise, and I will make you a great nation. He even tell him how he was going to do it. I will bless you and make your name great. And this is the best part right here. I love this part. And you shall be a blessing. Guys, I'm going to tell you, it's never just about us. We always think it's all about me. You know why God wants to bless you? So that you'll be a blessing. Isn't that an amazing thought? God wants us to be a blessing. God wanted Abraham to be a blessing. And I'll tell you, since he obeyed, we are blessed today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You see, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. You know, when Hamas attacked Israel, they were cursing Abraham. You know, whenever Christians are persecuted, they're engrafted branches into Israel. They are descendants of Abraham. Whenever they're being persecuted, those folks don't realize it, but they're cursing the very essence of this promise to Abraham. And I can tell you, there's going to be a curse for them. That's why we need to pray that curse can be broken, that they would come to the Lord as well. You know what's wrong there in the Middle East right now and all the strife that's going on? There's a lack of Christ. Christ is our peace. But listen to what it says. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I can tell you there is an overflow of blessing that came from this promise to Abraham that has been carried out for thousands of years. I don't know if you guys have ever looked at all the great inventions that have really been important in modern history that have really blessed people in large ways, but I'm going to say probably somewhere around 70 to 85% of them have been done by Jewish people. Did you know that? Some of the most prominent positions of the in the world, they have just been blessed to carry, and it's such an amazing thing. And I think it's all part of this promise. All the families, even unsaved families, are blessed through this blessing that he gave. Do you know this community is blessed because this church exists? Because we are ones who come in the faith of Abraham. And we exist, and we try to flourish within this, and you all live like Christians among your neighbors. And whenever you do that, it makes a difference. Your neighbors are blessed. You know, this country has been blessed greatly. And you know why? Because there was an understanding of this area of Scripture and a real commitment to the Bible. Even unsaved families have been blessed. You know, even unsaved people, it is good for them whenever we live out our Christianity without apology. Whenever we actually live as the Bible tells us. You see, we're being duped into thinking that we have to push the Bible aside and everything that it says so that other people will be blessed. No, if we do that, they will be cursed. It is for the world's good that we live out our Christian belief and faith and do it in obedience to God. You know, it's really important that we also understand that whenever God calls us to do it, we need to do it right away. You see, so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. I'm going to tell you, what he was being called to do was a big deal. In and of myself, I don't have that kind of faith. But God can give it to me, and he can call me to exercise it. He's calling us all to exercise the faith which he gives. You see, when Abraham didn't have his own kingdom, his hope was in God's kingdom. You see, he was called to go out. He was called to leave everything that was familiar to him, everything that was a blessing to him within his family and everything. And he was called to just leave. Why was he willing to do that? It tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. By faith, he dwelt in a land of promise as a foreign country. He had known it. You know, the only thing he wound up owning while he was there was a little plot of land that had a cave on it so he could bury his wife whenever she died. That was it. It was in Hebron. And that's where we get the name Hebrew. It's actually for the fact that he owned that little plot of land. That was it. That was all he ever owned in his lifetime. The rest of the time, he was like a Bedouin. He just lived in a tent. You know why he was willing to do that? Even while he had his son Isaac, and then Isaac's son of promise, Jacob. Yeah, they all did live all at the same time at one point. Even as it says here, and they dwelt in tents in this foreign country as visitors. They didn't even own it yet, but they were believing that God is faithful and that he would fulfill the promise because they were heirs of him of the same promise, and they waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You see, the only reason why they stayed, the only reason why they stayed the course was not because they saw it fulfilled in their lifetime. It was because they believed that God is faithful. How many promises has God shown you that you've not yet seen fulfilled? And from time to time you think, man, this whole thing, I just don't know. Maybe I'm doing the wrong, I don't know. I want you to remember, God's plan is bigger than just you or just your lifetime. Some of it we may not see the fulfillment of it in our lifetime. But believe me, eternity is real. Eternity is real. And whenever we get there, a lot of it that don't make sense now is going to make more sense when we're looking at it from that side. We've got to trust that there's a city that's got real foundations. You see, it wasn't in Abraham's day. He was living in a tent. He didn't have foundations, right? But he knew God's foundations were good enough. It was as good as done. We've got to keep the faith. We've got to keep going in faith, just like Abraham. You see, sometimes Abraham was confused about the fulfillment of the promises, too. If we look in Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, he had gone out and he had defeated these kings to get Lot back and all this stuff, and he only had 318 untrained servants. You know, they were never trained for war or anything like that. They just trusted Abraham. They went out, man, they whooped up on these kings. They brought Lot back and everything. And he, you know, God meets with him at this moment after this great defeat, after he brought all the stuff back and the people back. After these things, I'm giving you a little background. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield." You know what God, in essence, I think was saying here? Don't forget, Abram, you didn't do that on your own. I'm the reason why you did it. And I won't leave you. I'm your shield and your exceedingly great reward. You see, Abram had refused to take anything from the king of Sodom, who was a rich, really rich guy. And he said, "No, because if I took it from you, people might say I got rich because you gave it to me. And that isn't what I want. I want them to say that I'm rich because of God." And so God is reassuring him now. "I'm pleased with what you've done. I'm pleased with your faith. Don't forget, I'm the one who makes you strong. Don't forget, I'm your reward." But Abraham said, "Lord God," okay, so he's a little confused at this point. God's his reward, but he says, "Lord God, what will you give me seeing I go childless?" So what Abram was basically saying is, you know, like, "God, I know you're my reward, and I've been trusting you in faith, but it's been a long time, and I still don't even have a child." And he says, "And the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." In other words, one of his servants is going to get his kingdom someday. He said, it's confusing me. And you know what? When you're confused, it's okay to ask God. He just honestly asked God. He just said, I know you're my reward. You saw, I just lived it out in faith, but like, I'm confused." Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir." You know what God told him? "Don't worry about it. You're going to have a son. You're not going to give it all to your servant." You can read the rest of it today whenever you got some time. You know what? Sunday, really, as we come to worship, just give the whole day to God. Go home, read in the Bible, think about these things, mull over them as much as you can. I know you got some stuff that you may need to do, but I really hope that you just make it an extravaganza of God today. Look at some of these other scriptures, because I can't cover them all in a short period of time. But I want you to know, God made good his promise. And along the way, they got confused again. It's like, well, it's been taking a long time for us to give us the son, so maybe his wife had a great suggestion. "Take my handmaiden, you can have a baby with her, surrogate mother." That probably will work. Maybe that's what God meant whenever he gave us promise, because we start getting the flesh involved, you know? And I get it. It was a long time, but let me tell you something, it didn't work out so good. Because that son wound up being the father of the Arab nations. How's that been working out? Still strife today. Amen? That was a decision of the flesh. That wasn't a decision of faith. And then after that, God did give him that son of the promise. And that's what it talks about with Sarah. That it took faith for Sarah to even believe that, oh my goodness, I am after the years of childbearing. I can't even have a child now. And God's telling me I'm going to have a child? She laughed. You know what Isaac's name means? Laughter. It was pretty funny that she had a child at that age. And some people say, well, she lived a really long time and all that, so back then they probably just had kids late in life. No, she was in her 90s. She laughed because it seemed unusual. It seemed unbelievable. And you know what? Without God, it was. It was impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Anything he promises, he can actually deliver. You see, there were times that they doubted. There were times that they were unclear. So I want to give you hope. When you doubt, you're in good company. Even people of faith who went before us doubted sometimes. You ever doubt sometimes? You ever wonder, man, am I really hearing from God? Am I sure this is what I heard? Well, just know Guys, even when you doubt, go back to God. Don't hide from him. Bring it before him and ask him to help strengthen your faith right now. Lord, help me to know that I really am following you, because I don't want to quit. I don't want to be a quitter. You see, even when it looks impossible, God still can. And we see that in Hebrews 11 through 12. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And that was in her old age, guys. God can do it. It's never too late for God. You know, and oftentimes God waits until it looks impossible before he delivers. You ever notice that? I'm always in a hurry, and I'm always wishing God would hurry up. But you see, God's doing more in the process than what I realize. His plan is bigger than my plan. He's doing the greatest amount of good for the largest amount of people for the longest amount of time, all at the same time. You see, while he's hearing my prayers, he's hearing your prayers too. And for him to line it all up, sometimes I have to wait. We need to be willing to wait, because God's got a great plan. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, you see, Abraham was old too, were born as many as the stars of the sky, a multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Guys, that's us. That's us. Praise God, Abraham was faithful. Amen. Praise God that God did this. God was faithful. God is faithful. You know what? God can do the impossible. Amen. We see that in the New Testament, Luke 1, you know, and there's just no better place to start than to see the virgin birth. You know, a lot of people have a hard time swallowing the virgin birth, and they say, you know, I can believe a lot, but I just can't believe that. Well, if you believe that God is a God of miracles, then you can believe that. If you can't believe that, then you're kind of believing God isn't a God of miracles. You know, and I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying, I went through this transition myself. It was hard for me, because in the flesh, this was impossible. And in fact, for Mary, she's like, how can this happen? This is impossible. What you're saying is going to happen. And listen to what the angel Gabriel told Mary. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Can I hear more than one amen to that one? I have seen God do the impossible in my life. The fact that I'm standing before you right now is impossible. But I praise God that God is the God of the possible. You see, then, in the fact that you're saved today and you're sitting in this place, if you're saved, it was impossible to save you. We're all really bad. We're stinking sheep. But you see, God is the God of the impossible. He can make it possible. You see, then Mary said, and I love her. Man, you're talking about faith. Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. In other words, it may be hard, but I'm willing. And the angel departed from her, and you know what? She faced it just like Abraham faced it, and just like all these other patriarchs, matriarchs faced it, because you know why? God is enough for the person of faith. God is enough. That next slide there. God is enough for that person of faith. Hebrews 11 verses 13 through 14, these all died not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them. They couldn't see them with their eyes, guys. So what was it that assured them? God. Has God ever failed you? Can you really just say God has absolutely failed me? The fact that you're here is saying God hasn't failed you, because he got you here this morning. You're still existing. You're still here. He's still got a plan for you. And that is what has to reassure us, even when we can't see it with our eyes. You see, just the fact that God is faithful, that should assure us, embrace them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. You see, it's talking about when we live, and it looks strange the way we live to the rest of the world sometimes, when we're really generous, when we're really loving, even whenever we by world standards maybe wouldn't be. Whenever, you know, we really devote ourselves to following God, even in times when it gets very difficult. Whenever we're very regular about attending worship and being in, you know, in fellowship with the church, and other people might scratch their head and say, why? You see, what you're saying is, I'm a pilgrim here, but I got a better homeland. You're pointing to heaven during that time. You know, whenever they see you have hope and have joy, even whenever everything really should look bad, you're saying, I've got a hope that's bigger than this. My hope is in heaven. Guys, pilgrim would indicate that we're only passing through. We're not staying. We're visitors. You see, just as Abraham and Sarah, God is our desire and heaven is our home. Will I get an amen? God is our desire and heaven is our home. Do you know heaven's going to be all about God? It's not going to be about your favorite fish to catch and your favorite animal to hunt. A lot of times people get the wrong idea about heaven. It's like, heaven should be all about me. No. Heaven is all about God. And since heaven's all about God, if you're all about God, you're going to love it when you get there. And yeah, there'll be great things for us to do. I'm sure of it. They're going to be perfect because we're going back to the original perfection that he intended in the first place. It's going to be like a reset, only without even any desire to sin in any of us. You will be sinless. You're going to be able to love God and nothing's going to get in your way of it. And you're going to be able to do it forever. And forever seems like a long time to us now because we're looking at it from time. But when we're in it, it's going to be perfect. And that's exactly what these patriarchs and matriarchs saw as well. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. You see, if all they ever did was say, this thing don't work out for me, I think I'm going back, then all they would have been is stuck all the time. But you know what? They quit looking back and they started looking forward. But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. You see, their hope wasn't just on earth. It was bigger than that. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Oh, praise God. That's what I want to be said of us. For he has prepared a city for them. I want this to be said of me. I want this to be said of you. I want this to be said of myself more than anything else. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Whenever people stand around my tombstone at my funeral, I don't want them standing there scratching their head thinking, man, I wonder if John made it. I hate to hear those funerals. I really do. Guys, I want there to be enough evidence that people are reasonably sure they know where I'm at. Don't worry, I'm not looking to hurry it up. It'll happen when it happens. That's God's timing. But I want to live in such a way that people have a reasonable assurance that they know where I'm at. That it can be put on my tombstone, God's not ashamed to be called John's God. So pray for me that I'll finish well, and I'll pray for you. Because, you know, it can take a whole lifetime to build that. One bad decision can really hurt that. So let's remember that. Let's obey God. Let's be like Abraham. Just obey God. It's really simple. It's hard to finish. It's simple to get the direction once we just lock ourselves down to, I'm just going to obey God. I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to try to figure it all out. I'm not going to act like I got to understand it before I'll do it. I'm just going to do it. Just do what he says. And Jesus said, follow me. So let's follow him. And let's keep studying to see where he's heading, and let's just do it. You know, whenever someone abuses you and spitefully uses you or persecutes you, you know what the Bible says? Bless them. You know the reason why that's hard for us to do? It's because of our sinful heart. It's not because of what God's word says. It's easy if we just do what God's word says. And I know I picked the hard one. That's one that's hard for me. That's why I picked that one. Doesn't mean I got to be weak. It just means I need to be meek. That's strength under control. God will take care of me. Let's just follow him. Let's be like Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Father, I pray that you will bless us to just be willing to be like Abraham and obey. When you tell us, get out of your comfort zone and go do what I'm going to show you, that we just do it. And Lord, we can't live in the past. We can't say, well, I did that 25 years ago. That's good enough. You're going to call us to do it each and every day in different ways. That commitment needs to be renewed. And so help us, Lord, just to live it out. Because as we have encounters with other people, you're going to call us to get out of our comfort zone again. Be a witness. You're going to call us to get out of our comfort zone again and pray with that one. You're going to call us to get out of our comfort zone again and forgive that one. You're going to call us to get out of our comfort zone and maybe go some other place. We don't know what all it looks like, but what we know is when you call us, we need to obey. Because when we don't, we get stuck. So Lord, help us to be willing to obey, to live out the faith each and every day. And that first step, man, that's sometimes the hardest one, that one of salvation. You mean to tell me God's calling me to give up kind of that sense of security and autonomy over my own life and just agree to follow him as I learn what that means? And the answer is yes. It's not a blind faith. I mean, it needs to come after we have spent some time getting to know Jesus, but that's not necessarily got to be a very long time. It's once we know who you are, and the Bible says once we believe that God sent you to die for our sins, and once we believe that you really did die on that cross, and once we believe that you really did raise on the third day, that you rose from the dead, the resurrection, then we have enough faith to say, yes, Lord, be my Lord. So I pray that if there's anybody here that maybe hasn't taken that first step and they're feeling compelled to this morning, that's you that's compelling them, that they step out and say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. I want you to be my Lord. I pray that you would lead us this morning. We'd be willing just to say yes to that next act of obedience. In Jesus' name, amen.